You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today, Carrie Saldo, host of WGBY's Connecting Point, and Susan Bigelow, columnist with CT News Junkie. Carrie, Susan, thanks for coming by today.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
This week, a Massachusetts state representative pleaded not guilty in federal court to several charges, including embezzling campaign funds, bank and tax fraud. Prosecutors say David Nangle of Lowell was deep in debt from gambling and stole $70,000 in campaign funds for his personal use. Here's FBI Special Agent Joe Bonavolanta.
Simply put, Representative Nangle used the power of his position on Beacon Hill to fund a lifestyle out of his reach, unwittingly financed by those who put him there.
Carrie, Nangle did give up his leadership position in the House, but are you surprised he didn't step down altogether?
Well, we've seen this in the past, right, where representatives have held their position even though they've stepped away from leadership positions. And while he has said he's not guilty of these charges, they are serious allegations. The wire fraud charge alone could carry 20 years in prison. And if you look broader at Massachusetts leadership, unfortunately, especially Speaker of the House position, over the past 30 years or so, it's been plagued by scandal. With the exception of the current office holder, everybody else has resigned amid scandal.
Susan, Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling has been aggressive in prosecuting public corruption cases, including the state police overtime scandal. Do you think something like this is going to put lawmakers on notice?
Oh, probably not. You would love to think that it would. But it always seems like something like this is going to happen no matter what. It's probably the case that they will find a way around whatever's happening, whatever the Representative Nangle did. They'll just find another way to do it. This is the trouble with money in politics. It always seems like it's like a river running downhill. Whenever you dam one, you throw a rock into the river, you dam one angle, then it just flows around the other. In Connecticut, we do have public financing of campaigns, which makes something specifically like this a little harder, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't happen. It just happens in other ways.
Meanwhile, this week in Connecticut, Democratic Governor Ned Lamont gave up pursuing truck tolls. The governor had pushed to bring back tolls in some form to help fund transportation projects, but could not get an agreement with the legislature.
You want to take it from the rainy day fund, you want to do tractor trailers, but don't say, I can't make up my mind, I need another week, I need another week, I need another week. I've heard that for a year.
Instead, Lamont said he'll reluctantly propose the state borrow money for transportation projects. Susan, this has been big news in Connecticut for quite some time. How much of a price politically is Lamont going to pay for this? And I didn't want to use taking a toll as that line instead.
Well, yes, it's going to be rough for him. Poor Governor Lamont, he's a very, very nice guy, but unfortunately, he's not particularly good at being governor at this point, because this has been his signature issue. He has been going around the state trying to convince people that this is the right idea. He was for passenger car tolls, then he went back to truck-only tolls, which was his original campaign promise. He did sort of flip-flop on that. But in the end, he was just not able to get it done. So at this point, there's a lot of broken trust between Lamont and the legislature, and he's already paid a huge price for it among the public, who are very angry.
Carrie, is it any surprise that tolls aren't exactly a popular thing among lawmakers?
Well, tolls are not awfully popular, and Governor Baker, you know, you're probably going to see him come out and say he is extremely disappointed because he was hoping for a reciprocity agreement here with Connecticut, because there are millions of dollars sitting on the table. Connecticut's are scofflaws, Susan. They don't like to pay those tolls, apparently.
No, we don't.
And, you know, we have reciprocity agreements with other states, which, you know, if you don't pay in Rhode Island or Maine as Massachusetts license holder, and you go to renew your license and haven't paid those tolls, you're out of luck. We don't have that same agreement with Connecticut.
We move on to casino gambling revenue. January was a bounce-back month for the MGM Springfield Casino. Business was up 8% compared to December, which was the resort's worst full month since opening. Carrie, this is the first time in a few months gambling revenue cracked the $20 million mark at MGM Springfield. What's your take on the latest numbers?
Well, we heard this week from city leadership that while that revenue is up, it hasn't meant that taxes in the city of Springfield can go down. We have seen that city services that may have been cut otherwise were avoided and maintained. I think, you know, something else to watch with MGM Springfield is the housing piece. That was part of the host community agreement they needed to make. It was about 50 units or so of housing. That was part of the agreement. They kicked it down the road for a year. Now we've seen they've stepped up and said, we're going to strike bargain with the city of Springfield. $16 million's coming for a proposed project in the downtown, which is a long vacant building. So while we're seeing that bump most recently, the city continues to work with the casino.
In Connecticut, the tribes looking to team up on a casino in East Windsor recently signaled they might be spending less on their facility, which is designed to compete with MGM Springfield. Originally, the East Windsor facility had a $300 million price tag, but the head of the Foxwoods Casino said that investment could be as low as $200 million. Susan, what do you make of this cutback in the face of MGM Springfield struggling with gambling revenues?
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all. The whole point of the East Windsor Casino was to sort of intercept the traffic that was going to be going up to MGM Springfield. But if that traffic is just sort of a trickle, then what exactly is the point of having a casino there? MGM Springfield is not doing great on its own. Having another casino in East Windsor just seems like it would be a money loser for the tribes. Connecticut is still going ahead, though, with pursuing gambling in cities like Bridgeport. So I don't know if that's going to happen. But at least for East Windsor, I'd be surprised if we see anything.
We wrap up this week with Massachusetts becoming the last state in New England to ban the use of handheld cell phones while driving. The new law goes into effect Sunday. Susan, Connecticut's had this law for 15 years. You live there. Has it made a difference?
Well, the science actually does say that it has. There's been a study out there that says that these laws do help prevent these kinds of crashes, and that's good. It doesn't necessarily mean, even if people are using hands-free devices, that they're still not driving distracted. That's something that legislatures haven't really dealt with yet. Even people using hands-free devices still driving distracted can cause accidents.
Now, Carrie, I don't want to put you on the spot, but is this law going to change some of your habits in the vehicle?
I already, as a mom, silence my phone and keep it in my purse, just a precious cargo in the back there. But I have been guilty in the past before having a kid in the car of being distracted. It's too easy. Our phones aren't only our phones. You're listening to podcasts, hopefully. You might be playing games, watching a video. And to Susan's point about the crashes, the state website says that distracted driving between 2014 and 2016 increased 170%. Crashes related to that distracted driving. So it's a serious problem.
All right, Carrie Saldo with WGBY's Connecting Point and Susan Bigelow with CT News Junkie. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist and NEPR's Week in Review. You can also listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, but please do so safely if you're in the car or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.